Good evening and welcome to WDIY and the program On Every Main Street. This program takes a deeper look into the greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce and all of its affiliates. I'm your host, Greg Caponia, and today I would like to welcome Alice Wanamaker, the Assistant Vice President of the Northern Tier of the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber. And with Alice today is Tina Madden of Skin Deep, a company that provides permanent cosmetics for breast cancer survivors and a lot of other things, and also Taylor Handwork of the Harry Packer Mansion and the Libations Lounge, bringing fine wine exploration and more to the tourism efforts of the Jim Thorpe area. First, let's talk about medical tattooing. Tina, how does one get into this?
So I originally went to school for permanent cosmetics and corrective cosmetics, and then realized there was a need for medical tattooing, which is for breast cancer survivors, people who've gone through chemo and lost their eyebrows. Sometimes they never grow back. So there's a technique called microblading, which is using a very thin blade with pigments to match the person's skin. And we just basically recreate an entire eyebrow template, make it look like hair strokes.
Where's your location?
I'm on 209 in Lehighton, 400 Interchange Road.
Okay, and how wide of an area do you serve?
I'm actually mobile, so I will travel. If I go to a doctor's office, another spa, a med spa, salon, wherever I'm needed, I basically just pack up and go, or I take clients at my location.
How do people find out about you?
So my website is skindeepllc.com. They can just go on there and find out everything I do.
And it's important to put in LLC in perhaps the city.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of...
SkinDeep.com was gone to a regular tattoo artist, so I had to take the LLC.
Take me through the process, please. A person has a horrible illness, and hopefully they come out of it with positive results. And after surgery, what's a person left with?
Basically, after breast cancer, if they have full removal and then they go through the reconstruction process, they have to wait at least 6 months after surgery to come to me. Then they come to me for a consultation. We basically draw on what they want, what maybe used to be there before, to give them an idea of what the tattoo will look like. And then oftentimes they leave and then they'll come back again and decide they want to go ahead with the procedure. And basically, I recreate a 3D areola and nipple where it used to be.
Explain 3D.
So 3D, so from the front, we make it look like it's real, but obviously it's flat. So it's just an artistic technique to make it look like it's actually standing out.
Obviously, the work that you do is incredibly positive. After a person goes through this process, there's really, if it's reconstructive, they may have what was there in size, but not necessarily
in appearance. Correct. And oftentimes people say after they've done the reconstructive end surgery wise, they say they're done. I'm done going through pain. I'm done having people poke at me. I want no more. And so they'll take about 6 months to a year, and then they'll go, maybe I do want areola tattooing. And that's normally when they start to reappear. I've had quite a few clients that I've done the microblade eyebrows on who are still not ready to have the areola tattooing, just simply because they're tired. But eventually, when they feel better, health-wise, energy-wise, then that's when they kind of come around and decide they want to have it done.
Does it hurt?
From my experience, I do numb. I use a lot of medical numbing, but oftentimes people will say that they don't feel a thing, even without the numbing. They just don't, there's no feeling left there. You might find little spots where the client will suddenly go, ooh, you know, there's very little nerves left there. So
how long does it take if you're working on a blank canvas?
2 to 3 hours for the procedure.
Well, that's not very long.
No,
really.
And then they'll come back to me in the 6 week period to see how their body has reacted to the pigment, because some people, the body, just like a regular tattoo, sometimes your body will push it out and you need a touch up. And then they're good for 1 to 2 years. They'll come back in about 1 to 2 years, see if it's faded. If it's faded, I go in and just put some more color in there.
So do you, when you talk about pigmentation, is there, let's say a person has had a single, And so how do you match?
That is the biggest challenge. So when someone comes and it's a blank canvas, then it's very easy to do. When someone comes and yes, you have to match the one to the other, it is a challenge.
And how long does it take to learn how to do this?
Quite a while. I was back and forth to New Jersey, taking different certifications, different classes, different licenses. And yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Do you work on other parts of the body that have, say, a person's been injured or gone through some type of facial reconstruction?
So I can do scar camouflage as long as the scar is not raised. If the scar is raised, I won't touch it. But if someone has had surgery, stitches, a scar that's indented and it's white, then I can work on it and make it look more like the pigment of their regular skin.
Can you give us a positive story about the psychology of what you do?
I've seen a lot of tears of joy when a woman looks in the mirror and has eyebrows again. And they haven't had eyebrows for years.
Why would they lose eyebrows?
Chemo. Gone. Eyelashes are gone. Hair is gone. Eyebrows go. They're gone. When the body's going through chemo and they lose all the hair, and then the body's going through so much healing on the inside, it doesn't have time to create hair. So there's no eyebrows. And sometimes they may never come back, or they come back very, very sparse.
Do you run into very many people with the BRCA gene? Explain what that is, please.
So that's the gene where their chances, it's in the family, it's in their body, and the chances of them having breast cancer at some point in their life is very high. I do have a friend of mine who has that. So they have to make an awful decision, either to have everything removed or take the chance of finding out in the future that they have breast cancer.
Alice, you have an interesting job.
Yes.
You have a lot of different types of businesses.
Every Main Street is different.
And yeah.
Well, our show is called On Every Main Street, and that's because we talk about all the different businesses that are in a various area. And
unfortunately, Tina's business is needed in Carbon County, in the Lehigh Valley, all over the world. And, you know, when I met her, I was drawn to her with her personality. And then I talked to her and found out why. And this is a service that my friends have needed, that people will continue to need in the future. And she's a blessing that, you know, she can help women feel whole again, at least a little bit. And men, I imagine.
Does insurance cover your service?
It does not. It does not. So my goal in the future is, because I do permanent cosmetics as well, and I do eyelash extensions and all that foo-foo stuff. So my goal in the near future, I'm not there yet, but I really hope I can get there, that I can do enough of the permanent eyeliner and the microblading for people who aren't sick and just need it, so that I can offer the services to the people who've gone through cancer for free. Because they've lost so much already. So why should they lose $600 out of pocket for something that they lost through almost losing their life?
So if anybody's listening and hears this story and wants to help, what should they do?
I'm actually working with Square right now, because that's how I take payments at my shop. And I'm working with them right now because Alice actually gave me a great idea. I was trying to come up with a way that I could take donations so that I could therefore put that forward to an areola tattooing service. But when you use the word donation, you get into a lot of legal stuff that, honestly, it's just the legal part end of it's just not in my budget either. So Alice said, what about pay it forward? So I called Square, and they said they do not have a button where when your client, you know, you put their credit card in and then it could come up, would you like to pay it forward? They don't have that yet, but because Alice said that to me and I brought that up to them, they're working on it. So Square, if you're listening, hopefully you're getting that together. So I think that'll be a really good way to, and they can pay forward $5, $50, an entire service.
So that's probably one of the services that being a chamber member helps you out with.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we sat down and talked a couple times, and of course, anything that we can do at the chamber to help make that more feasible, to help more people, absolutely we want to do that.
The Harry Packer Mansion.
Changing gears.
One of the cool things about On Every Main Street is we do have a lot of different businesses.
We do. And each community, you know, is different. Tina's in Lehigh, not too far from Jim Thorpe. One is extremely tourism-based, and the other one is inside of a tourism / community-based business. And Tina, you know, works with her fiance inside Archery Addictions in Lehighton. And they'll serve anyone that walks in the door. And, of course, so will Taylor up at the Harry Packer Mansion.
As long as you're 21.
Just two different focus groups, you know, focus on who they're marketing to.
When you said Archery Addictions, just to be clear, we want to make sure that people understand what that business is. Yeah. It's another business in the area,
yes.
Right?
So my fiance bought, it's 400 Interchange Road. He bought the building. We moved Archery Addictions from where it used to be for 8+ years in Walnutport. Very large building, downsized to this other building, but it looks smaller from the outside. We do have 13 indoor ranges, 20 yards. We will eventually have a 30-yard range. Some 3D shooting going on once in a while. And basically kayaking, fishing. He's a federal firearms license dealer, so you can buy, sell, trade. Everything's going on in there right now. Yeah, he's going to have some gun building classes, some gun safety classes, and I do all his marketing, so then my shop is in there, so you can shoot a bow, buy a gun, and get a tattoo. It doesn't get much better than that.
And then you can go to the mansion.
There you go. And he does kids JOAD classes, which is Junior Olympic Archery. I don't know what the D is for. And he does, like, there's leagues, there's everything going on in there.
Anything that you'd like to say as we move on to the all the great things that are happening at the mansion? Anything that you'd like to say, words of encouragement, before we take a quick break?
To breast cancer survivors?
Yeah.
I'm amazed at all the stories I hear, and I literally have cried with every client that I've had come to me, whether it's for eyebrows or what it's for, but they tell me a different, unique story, their struggle, how they survived, and it's just incredible to me that they're as upbeat and positive as they are, and we just need to keep supporting those people.
Things can get back to normal.
I know. When they tell me the stories, I keep thinking to myself, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I'd be strong enough to do what these people have done. They're still raising families. They're still working, still taking care of a household while they're almost losing their life. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. It really is.
A friend of mine is a breast cancer survivor, and on her wall, she has, "You don't know how strong you can be until strong is your only option." So that really hits home, saying that. You know, you don't know. Sitting here, we don't know how we would react or how we would respond, but if that's all you have, then that's all you have.
I know, and I've met clients who have lost. They've lost their breasts, almost lost their lives. They've lost their jobs because they're too sick. So now they've lost their health insurance. Some of them have lost their husbands. And if I can give them areola, then I'm doing something.
Great work. You're listening to On Every Main Street. I'm your host, Greg Caponia. We'll be back in just a minute.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
WDIY 88.1 offers many choices and real voices. Folk music, from folk classics to the Gaelic traditions of the British Isles, to bluegrass and old-time music of Appalachia, to the modern-day singer-songwriters telling the story of today's world. You'll find it all here on WDIY. Listen and enjoy the wide variety of folk music every weekday evening, 7 to 9 p.m., just after NPR News headlines, and Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. on 88.1 WDIY and streaming at WDIY.org.
Welcome back to On Every Main Street. We have an interesting show here showing the diversity of businesses in the Jim Thorpe area and businesses under the purview of Alice Wanamaker from the Greater Lehigh Valley Chamber.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Let's shift gears here and talk about the Harry Packer Mansion. Taylor Handwerk is here, and you've got some pretty interesting things coming up.
Yeah. The Mansion, we're not only a hotel, we also do private events. And then we also have Libations Lounge, which is open to the public, so people can come up, grab a drink, and relax, and see what it was like to live in the lap of luxury back in the 1800s.
What was it like to live in the lap of luxury back in the 1800s? What can you tell people about the Mansion?
My parents bought the place in 1983, and it was just a long restoration project. They were into buying old homes and redoing them. They were living down in Philadelphia. And it was just a fun thing for them to do. And as it got progressing along, people started saying, man, it'd be cool if you could stay there. And the idea of a bed and breakfast came around. So it was no plan to be an inn. It just kind of happened. So they got the second floor done, 3 guest rooms, and people started staying, and they just kept renovating as time went on. And now we have 12 guest rooms. We have the lounge. We do murder mystery weekends. That's our big thing. We've been doing them for, God, over 30 years. My dad, he's Inspector Bob. And it's cool. It all revolves around the Packer family and the fortune that they amassed with the Lehigh Valley Railroad. So you get a little bit of history, and then you get a little bit of fun mixed in with the mystery. It's like a game of Clue, a real live game of Clue.
Does the Packer family ever come back?
Yeah, so you are assigned, it's a role-playing mystery, so you're a member of the family or a family member. So depending on which mystery you do, you could be Harry Packer, Asa Packer, or Elijah Wilbur, any of these people, or a friend of the family, something like that.
And is there a dinner involved with this? Or
yeah, it's a two-night
package.
How
does it work?
So you come Friday night, and you stay all the way through until Sunday. So it revolves around the meals. So you have some free time to go explore town and see the sights and all that kind of fun stuff. But each round of the mystery, we give you a sheet, tells you who your friends are, what your secrets are, stuff like that. And then Inspector Bob, he guides you through and says, hey, I saw you doing this. What were you up to? And you have to defend yourself. And somebody might make up a story about you, and you've got to, come up with something. It's interactive. There's roles for everybody, whether you enjoy being in the middle of everything, or you want to be a little bit quieter. So there's a place for everybody.
How do people find out about the Mansion, the murder mysteries, and all the things that you do?
Yeah, our website is murdermansion.com. Pretty easy to remember. And then, of course, we're on Facebook, the Harry Packer Mansion. We post all of our events and everything on Facebook. And we try to keep everything up to date on the website.
Typically,
too.
Where do people come from? How far away?
Usually like a 4-hour radius. So New York, New Jersey, Washington, D.C., Harrisburg, a 4-hour circle is the main kind of draw. And then occasionally get people from further out that are traveling through, headed somewhere else. So we get people where we are the final destination or we're just a stop along the way.
Alice, can you talk a little bit about the tourism impact?
Yeah, it's great. We have a lot of folks coming to our other attractions from the Harry Packer Mansion. Taylor and his family are very good at making sure people have things to do while they're here. That's one of the big questions that we get in Carbon County is what else is there to do? So they're very good at helping folks find their way around. But it's been amazing. Taylor's talking about 30 years. Jim Thorpe has undergone transition in that 30 years, and the Harry Packer has been a focal point of that. So it's nice to see that continue and grow as Libations Lounge mm-hmm. grows and things are added on, and Jim Thorpe continues to change and prosper.
Yeah.
What was Libations Lounge originally when it was the Packer Mansion?
It was nothing. Libations Lounge was my wife's idea.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a bedroom or a sitting room or a place where people
the
who had mansions hung out.
My wife is a wine geek. We actually started the business before we were married. We were engaged. And she's like, oh, it'd be so cool if we had a bar. She loves wine. So
wine,
so we
beer.
Did it. So, yeah, I went through all the stuff with the LCB and made it happen. And it took about a year to get it all lined up. And we opened the bar in December of 2009. So we just had our 10-year anniversary in December of 2019.
Did you ever live at the Mansion?
Yep, I lived there and with Kristen, too, my wife. And then once we had a little guy and he started walking, we decided it wasn't the best place for him to be.
So how does it operate? Your family operates the Mansion?
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's us. We have a handful of really awesome employees that work with us, too. Everyone treats it like they're an owner. Everyone wears multiple hats. Small business, you have to do what you have to do. So it's mainly family, me, my mom, and my dad. Occasionally my wife, since we've had our son, she's not as involved as she was before. It's a family business.
You're open year-round.
Year-round, yep.
And you have some events that are coming up, and you have some weekly events that also take place.
Typically monthly events that we do. We do the first Friday wine tasting. We do that on the first Friday of every single month. We have four wines. Our wine expert comes in and we discuss the tasting process, what goes into everything. It's more of a lighter, kind of easy entry class. And then on the Wednesdays now, the third Wednesday of every month, we call it Wine Appreciation Wednesday. It's a more in-depth look. We do five wines and we have a theme in six-month increments. So right now we're in our first six-month. The New World is what we're doing right now. So we just did Chile. We're going to do USA, New Zealand. We're going to do basically each class will have a theme. So the one we just did was Chile. We're going to do the USA. And then the next month will be another New World area. And then the next 6 months we're going to do Old World. And we'll just change it up based on 6 months increments.
So is this a class?
Yeah, it's a class. About an hour and a half long. Jay Nee, he's awesome. He is our wine guy, and he is the one who comes up with the wines. And we do light fare with them. It's not really a pairing thing. It's just a little bit something to keep you level-headed as the class goes on. It's really cool. I mean, we did the first Friday wine tasting for years, and then we took a little break when Grayson was born. Now we're back at it, and then we added the Wednesday. And we're also going to do on March 13th, because Town is doing Irish Fest, we're going to do an Irish whiskey tasting. So we have four really cool Irish whiskeys that we're going to do. So everything is picking up again, and we're staying busy.
So when you do a whiskey tasting, what do you look out for? What makes whiskeys different?
Yeah, based on where they come from and what they do can totally change it. You can have a whiskey. So we're going to do Irish, but most people know whiskey for Scotland, Scotch. And it's so cool to try things from different regions. And you have this really heavy peat region versus a much lighter kind of grassier Scotch. So much like wine, you can taste and smell different notes and have a very different experience in each glass, each sip. It's very cool. And people who haven't really taken the time to be a bit of a geek about what they're drinking, you know, just kind of slugging it down, you miss a lot. There's a lot there. And it's cool to take the time. And when you get in a group atmosphere and everyone starts talking about it, there's really no wrong answer as to what do you smell, what do you taste, things like that. And it's neat because we all have different sensations. We'll all smell different things. We'll all taste different things. So what you may taste different to you and all that kind of fun stuff. So it's cool to hear everyone's kind of outlook and feel about what they're drinking.
So help us novices when we watch the sommelier stir the esters of the wine and the person takes a sniff of the wine before they drink it or they smell the whiskey before they take a sip. What are they looking for? Why are they smelling it?
It depends on what you're doing. You can tell an age of a wine. You can tell a region. As you get more advanced, obviously, you learn kind of character profiles of different wines in different regions. So you can do a blind tasting, which is fun. We've done that too. You cover the label, and everyone gets a couple glasses, and they're sniffing, they're smelling, they're swirling it, they're looking at it, you know, they're making the funny noises in their mouths and trying to taste, and you can figure out where it's from the more you do this. You say, oh, okay, that's a Cabernet from California, or that's a Pinot Noir from Oregon, you know, stuff like that. So, yeah, they're looking at the color of the wine, they're smelling the different scents that come off the wine. You can look and see how old it is by holding it up to the light and seeing the color of it. There's so many different things you can tell in a glass of wine.
That's impressive to know where a grape comes from based on the way the wine tastes. Yeah. That's impressive.
And some people get even down to like to the year.
If I wasn't able to see it, I'd be surprised if I knew if it was red or white.
Just don't say, I'll take a red.
No, you can. We like that. Everybody starts somewhere. And a lot of people start with sweet wine. White Zinfandel, whatever. We're not wine snobs. We like good wine, but we're not going to look down our noses at people who like certain things, or at least not to your face. Anything that gets people into it is a good thing. Every wine has its place. We don't all need to be drinking $100 bottles of wine every day. If that was true, nobody, very few people would drink it. It's cool to get people involved, and we've done the first Fridays. People come religiously to it. We have a group of people who come all the time.
What's First Friday?
Yeah, First Friday. That's the do the four wines.
Oh, that's one of the four wines. Yep. Okay.
And it was just like a gateway for them. You know, they'd come in drinking Lambrusco, you know, stuff like that. And all of a sudden, they're learning about
Matus.
Yeah, they're learning about all sorts of really interesting wines, and they grow their palate and they have fun with it.
Does wine need to be expensive to be good?
No, and that's a big thing about what we do is we try and show people value. Yes, they're good wines can be expensive, but there's also expensive bad wines. So we try and show folks that, hey, we'll tell you, the bottle that you just tasted, that was $12. The bottle you just had was $24. The bottle, you know, and you'd be amazed at how many times people would say, wow, that was really good wine. And you're like, yeah, it was really good wine. That doesn't mean it was expensive.
We have a few minutes left. Yeah. Why don't you invite some people up to the mansion?
Sure. The last 10 minutes didn't get you to come. I don't know what two more will.
to go to Libations Lounge, you have to be staying, or can
no.
you just...
Nope, it's open to the public. We do it pretty limited hours because we work around our guests and the murder mystery, which we do pretty regularly. So that kind of eats into things because you share a common space. But it's in the first floor of the mansion. Friday nights, we're open from 4 until 9. And then Saturday and Sunday, we're open in the afternoon. We go from 1 until 4:30. So any of those times... all year we're open, and then the wine tastings, any of that stuff, it's all by reservation, so you have to contact us and actually reserve a seat. It's not just a walk-in kind of thing. We limit the seats to about 20 people, so if anyone wants to come, they can reserve and come and join us.
Sounds like fun. Alice.
Yeah, it's great.
Very diverse topics here, both important.
You're welcome. Yeah, and if you're looking for more information, you've forgotten the websites to find the businesses individually. You can find it at carboncountychamber.org. Both of them are listed on our website. The events happening at the Harry Packer are listed on our website, on our calendar of events as well. Everything happening in Jim Thorpe. We're going to be doing a ribbon cutting coming up very soon over at Skin Deep, so look forward to that on our calendar of events. They've been great partners, and we look forward to continuing that with all of them.
Once again, Tina Madden from Skin Deep, LLC. You must put that in there so you can see the proper location and information about what Tina does. Aesthetically creating cosmetics for cancer survivors. And Taylor Handwork from Libations Lounge at the Packer Mansion. You have been listening to On Every Main Street. I'm Greg Caponia. Have a good evening.
Up next on WDIY 88.1 FM, news headlines from NPR, followed by our Monday night folk program, Folk Classics.